San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 19, 2022, Father's Day, and Juneteenth. Our lesson for today is Listen to Your Body with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what a beautiful day it is today. Ooh, so welcome. Welcome here. Welcome home. Welcome to our world. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Father's Day. So how many people are fathers? How many people have fathers? Yay! So today we can honor all fathers, because without them, none of us would be here. I'd like to anchor us in the universal spiritual truth as I do every Sunday. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this we know as the absolute truth of all being. Today's lesson, as we continue our June theme of body, is listen to your body. And so today we're going to explore a little bit about how we can listen to our bodies. One of the first things that I'd like to share is Dr. Deb Sandella's ways to listen to your body. She's with the RIM Institute in Denver, Colorado. And Dr. Deb says, eat when you're hungry. Rest when you're tired. Relax when you're stressed. Step back when you're overwhelmed. Listen to your body. Now, people have been telling us to listen to our bodies forever. And sometimes it's good advice for our physical well-being. Other times it's good advice for our emotional well-being or our spiritual well-being. I found an article that I pulled apart out of it. So here's an excerpt from How to Listen and Respond to What Your Body's Telling You. It's by Danny Sheriff. And it's on the website, Working Against Gravity. Working Against Gravity. And when I read that, I thought, you know, that's like pushing the river. Don't push the river, go with the flow. Why am I working against gravity? Why don't I use it as a tool? She writes, people say it all the time, listen to your body. Some people feel really in tune with their bodies. Others feel like they're completely disconnected. Sometimes the phrase feels like it's lost its meaning altogether. Maybe we've overcomplicated the concept of tuning into our body's signals. Listening to your body isn't about intuitively knowing which nutrient you're deficient in, or which essential oil you need for whatever ailment you're having. To listen to your body means that when your body is feeling something, anything, you should actually consider that a signal for something. So often we feel aches, pains, stiffness, soreness, and think it's totally arbitrary. It's just aging. I'm meant to feel this way. It's my genetics. Even days when we feel great, beaming with energy, we think today is just a lucky day. Like luck has anything to do with it. Here's a hint, it doesn't. This is the thing I liked best about her article. Consider that the human race is the only species that exerts energy when it doesn't need to. There's a four-panel cartoon here, and the first panel is jogging from the perspective of animals. And there's a wolf watching a human jogger. And the wolf says, "What are you running from, apex predator? Are you chasing prey? You need to conserve energy." And a bear sticks his head out and says, "The hell is that guy doing?" And the wolf says, "I don't know. I don't understand." Jogging. Humans jogging. Not to get somewhere, but to expend energy. Danny goes on to say, humans are the only species that deprive itself of sleep on purpose. We're tired, but we will still wait a few extra hours before going to sleep because it's too early. We have work to do. We want to finish watching a movie, or we have plans to go out with friends. Have you ever stopped to think about what these signals of fatigue, restlessness, and aches and pains actually mean? Or on the other side, the meaning of having extra energy, a skip in your step. Everything you feel and do is a signal that you can use to make decisions about your self-care. What is she telling us? We are out of character of our own nature. The animals. Now, birds sing and it's beautiful. But are they singing as communication? Are they singing as a mating dance? Are they singing simply because they're joyful? Cats. Anybody who's ever had a cat is amazed at how much time cats spend laying in the sun. Just resting, conserving all that energy until they hear the food box shake with kibble, and then it's boom, there they are. Time to eat. I've got a reason to move. Cats, we teach cats to play with laser lights and different things to teach them to chase things. What those cats are really doing is behaving in their own nature, because in nature they are predators and they have to catch things that are smaller than them to eat. So they're stealthy and they're fast, and that's their divine nature. That's their cat nature, their feline nature. But what is our nature? What do our bodies do naturally? You would be surprised. There are some pretty amazing things the body can do. Boyd K. Packer is the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and he wrote a book, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, in 1991. Now, I'm telling you this because last week I quoted Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones, and Dr. D said, your body is the device with which your soul touches the earth. Treat it well. Your body is the device with which your soul touches the earth. Treat it well. Well, guess what Boyd Packer said in 1991? Our physical body is the instrument of our spirit. Our physical body is the instrument of our spirit. From head to toe, our body is an amazing creation. Because of it, we can paint, go hiking, play football, crochet, play the flute, be a cashier, be a scientist, investigate things, and do many enjoyable activities. Boyd Packer wrote, "Your body, whatever its natural gifts, is a magnificent creation of God. Ponder the magnificence of what you see when you look in the mirror, a child of God, created by Him in His image." End quote. So I want to share some facts with you. Human bones are strong. The 26 small bones in your feet carry your body weight with each step you take. That's strong. Broken bones can heal. In fact, they heal themselves. That's why it's important to get them in alignment where they're supposed to be before the healing process starts. Because if we don't manipulate the bone into the right position, it will heal in the wrong position. And then our body will be uncomfortable for the rest of our lives. I want to tell you something about eyesight. The most expensive digital camera today can capture 400 megapixels. That's a lot. That's a huge amount. But the human eye can see 576 megapixels, according to this article. But I'm not sure how they actually measured that. I'm really not. When we look at a television screen, we're actually looking at a digital image. So pixels can be counted. The red, green, and blue, and the overlap, and the small size, and things like that. But when we look with our eyes, everything is analog. So how did they measure the pixelation capability of our eyes? Analog is not digital. It's real time. The human eye can distinguish thousands of different colors, and your nose can recognize thousands of different scents. For blind people, the eyes give you binocular vision, two eyes, which helps with depth perception. And you can test it by closing one eye and trying to touch a small item near you. That's not a very small item. That's why I chose it. For blind people, now this I didn't know, the brain's visual cortex changes in order to respond more to touch and hearing. When they say that your other senses are heightened when you have a loss of a single sense, that's true. It's true because the body, in its fluidity, in its malleability, adjusts so that we can survive and live well with what we have. I'm sure you've heard that there's electrical energy within the body. In fact, if you watched the movie The Matrix, the human beings were plugged in as batteries. Your brain produces enough electricity to light a small light bulb. Who does that remind you of? It reminded me of Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. This one I didn't know, but it makes sense. Hearing is the fastest human sense. Your brain can recognize a sound 10 times faster than the blink of an eye in as little as 0.05 seconds. Think about the cavemen and the hunter-gatherers of the pre-written historic era, they had to listen. Hearing had to be their most acute sense, because they had to hear what was around them. They had to hear the oncoming predators. They also had to smell acutely so that they could smell things that they couldn't hear. And the binocular vision that we have was to see distance and perception. It was all to make the human inside the body have the ability to be safe and to thrive and survive. Your heart pumps 5.5 liters of blood per minute. And I wondered about that. I wondered if that changes if you have high blood pressure or low blood pressure. But during an average lifetime, your heart will pump nearly 1.5 million barrels of blood. That's enough to fill 200 train cars. That's a lot of blood. And blood supplies our oxygen from the lungs to our other organs. It removes carbon dioxide to the lungs to be breathed out. And blood distributes nourishment from our digestive system. Blood can be regenerated to compensate for blood loss. I'm sure you've heard back in ancient days about bloodletting as a form of medicine. They wanted to remove some of the blood to remove the bad humors in the body. Well, that was a bad practice from day one, because all it did was remove one of the most important parts of your human body, the part that could distribute your nutrition, help you breathe, help you stay alive, get rid of the waste in your body, because the blood takes your body's waste to the kidneys and the liver to be sorted out and trashed. What else can these amazing bodies do? The skin. It secretes antibacterial substances and serves as the first layer of defense for invading microorganisms. And most bacteria that land on your skin die quickly. Your skin can be grafted from one part of your body to grow on another part. It's the human body's largest organ, and it's constantly renewing itself. Here's something that surprised me. The liver is responsible for more than 500 distinct processes, which must be why any liver disease is treated very seriously. The liver is so important that if a person has 2/3 of his liver removed as a result of trauma or surgery, it will grow back to its original size in as little as 4 weeks. It will grow back to its original size in as little as 4 weeks. And most sacred of all, remember, this was written by the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Our bodies have the power to procreate, to create life. Amazing, amazing things the body can do. And since the body has so much wisdom and capability, perhaps it's a very good idea to not just listen to it, but to understand that our bodies are often much wiser than the thoughts we hold in our heads. I have a cough. What does that mean? It means that my body makes little spasms and little noises like forcing out bits of air. So I've got a cough. Big deal. Now, listening to my body, I need to ask, why is my body having a cough? Remember what Danny Sheriff said. To listen to your body means that when your body is feeling something, anything, you should actually consider that a signal for something. So what signal is the body trying to tell us when we pay attention to it? Is it trying to tell us all is well? Is it trying to tell us I don't feel in balance? Is it trying to tell us I'm trying to get rid of something? What is our body telling us? Because the body-mind-spirit connection is so powerful, because we are spiritual, immortal beings having a human experience. Within this body, the driving animation of the body is the spirit. It is infinite life. It is part of all that is. It is the Christ consciousness, the God essence. That's what's inside these bodies. So not only do we have these physical bodies that have this intelligence in every cell and function so perfectly, we also have the one mind of the divine, the omniscience, the all-knowing of the divine. So that whenever we have some signal from our body, we can go within and say, what does this mean? What am I supposed to learn here? What am I supposed to know? And if we can't think of it, there's always Louise Hay. Louise Hay wrote several books, but I believe her most popular one is You Can Heal Your Life. And in there she has charts that talk about what body systems may be sending you signals and what spiritual or thought issues are related to those signals for the most part. There are always exceptions. But if you've never read You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, I recommend it as a resource book. We always want to listen to our body. I saw a meme. It's, if you listen to your body when it whispers, you won't have to hear it scream. If you listen to your body when it whispers, you won't have to hear it scream. And that is so true. That is so true. When I have injured myself, it is usually because I was doing something, I consciously knew that I was carrying something too heavy, or I was running too fast, I was off balance, and instead of stop and be reasonable, I continued on. And my body said, hey, 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 wake up, hey. And when I ignored it, I wound up with serious bodily injury. I am much better at listening to my body now, having experienced such things, and realized that I played a major role in every kind of repetitive strain, muscle, tendons, ligaments, carrying things that were too heavy, not asking for help. I realized I had a role in that. I had a choice. In those cases, I chose to ignore the whispers. Silly me. If you listen to your body when it whispers, you won't have to hear it scream. In Living the Science of Mind on page 220, there is a brief writing called Disease is Not First Cause. When we listen to our body, we need to also listen to the wisdom of the one mind. We need to listen to the knowledge, the knowing that all is perfect. And we can do spiritual treatment for ourselves, for our body. Ernest writes, the basis for correct spiritual treatment starts with the idea that being is already perfect. That means your body is already perfect. The universe is already perfect. Everything is already perfect because there's nothing else to be. There is nothing else to be. He writes, the idea of perfection is the spiritual power which heals. Now, Louise Hay said, when there is a problem, there is not something to do, there is something to know. And what we need to know is the idea of perfection is the spiritual power that heals. Ernest goes on, from the standpoint of pure spirit, an unknown or hidden false cause would be just as unreal as a known or revealed one. Therefore, we must know that disease is neither cause, medium, nor effect. From the standpoint of pure spirit, wrong action had no beginning, it has no duration, and it will have no climax. The treatment we give in these cases is an activity of the law enforcing this truth. You use the law, being on a higher plane of consciousness, your use of the law being on a higher plane of consciousness than the state of thought which produced the discord must therefore erase it, and you must know that it will do so. You must know that it will do so. Last week, I quoted, also from the Living the Science of Mind, when we clear the consciousness of discord, we are automatically healed. When we clear the consciousness of discord, we are automatically healed. You know that your mind or spirit is pure, perfect, and complete, manifesting itself in physical form in and throughout all nature. The government of good is enforced through the law of man's own divinity. Power exists, divine power exists. And the action of this power is upon your word, or your word acts upon the power. Nobody really knows which. For all practical intents and purposes, the power acts upon your word. So when you listen to your body is giving you signals. And you can use these signals to reinforce the truth of your beingness, the truth of who you are. We listen to our bodies. I mentioned at the beginning that today is Father's Day. Woohoo! And congratulations to all the fathers. But we also have a brand new holiday, brand new national holiday. It's called Juneteenth. Now, what's interesting to me is that Juneteenth is one of the oldest national holidays that's not a religious holiday in our nation. And yet it is just last year that there was a proclamation making it so. And when I heard about Juneteenth, I thought, what? What is Juneteenth? You know, can't they say like June 18th, June 19th? Why Juneteenth? Well, there's an interesting story. On June 19th, this is from a presidential proclamation by President Joseph R. Biden from last year, June 18th, 2021. The proclamation states, on June 19, 1865, nearly 9 decades after our nation's founding, and more than 2 years after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, enslaved Americans in Galveston, Texas, finally received word that they were free from bondage. As those who were formerly enslaved were recognized for the first time as free as citizens, Black Americans came to commemorate Juneteenth with celebrations across the country, building new lives and a new tradition that we honor today. In its celebration of freedom, Juneteenth is a day that should be recognized by all Americans, and that is why I am proud to have consecrated Juneteenth as our newest national holiday. So what really happened was Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed slaves. But word hadn't gotten out. So a couple years later, on this June 19th, 1865, General Order Number 3 is what it was read by Gordon Granger. And he read it in Galveston. It was one of his first orders of business was to read this to the people of Texas. And here's what it said. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired laborer. Naturally, there were great celebrations. The people listened to their bodies, where their spirits were overwhelmed with joy, and started to celebrate. And they honored June 19th every year, celebrating, and gradually it spread across the nation. 45 years later, after 1865, 45 years later, we had the nation's first Father's Day that was celebrated on June 19th, 1910 in the state of Washington. It wasn't until 1972, 58 years later, after President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day official, that the day honoring fathers became a nationwide holiday in the United States. June 19th, Juneteenth, June 19th, Father's Day. Now we celebrate Father's Day on the third Sunday in June. so that we can commercialize it. But one of the things that I think we need to remember is fatherhood. Fatherhood. We want to honor and celebrate the men who have embraced the essential role of fatherhood. On this day, we also thank fathers and father figures, uncles, grandfathers, for the sacrifices they make, for embracing the responsibility of nurturing and raising children, and for their devotion to family. Immediate family, extended family, family that we create. And in the nature of that fatherhood, I can't help but be reminded of divine fatherhood. The apostles asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he did. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. It's in two different places, Matthew and Luke, in the Holy Bible. This that I'm about to read is from the U.S. Book of Common Prayer, the 1928 edition, which is a version of the 1628 version from the English Book of Common Prayer. So I'd like to close our service with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you for your time and your attention, for your presence here. Enjoy Father's Day and Juneteenth, and listen to your body. Namaste.